The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now and on video, if you want to check that out, because I'll be looking at some charts of what John is talking about, is John Mayer, mining analyst and pirate SP Angel. How's your shoulder this week, John?
Oh, it's a lot less painful. It's much better than last time I talked to you, Justin. I was in some serious pain last week. And the surgeon now tells me that the titanium is doing its thing. So it's all setting in the right way.
Yeah, well, maybe some of that pain manifested itself last week, John, in your description of Ark Minerals. You ruffled a few feathers last week. I've got to say, I had a bit of social media reaction because, you know, you're talking about Ark Minerals and you're talking about the management. I mean, let's get it clear. You're a fan of the project, aren't you? You like the project. Anglo-American like the project, so that's sort of due diligence. But you're a big fan of the project and the jurisdiction, is that right?
I love the project. They've got a really good geologist running things. And, of course, the team at Anglo-American are first class at what's going on, you know, what they're doing. So that is all fantastic. And as I said last week, I'm quite keen to buy some more stock. So I'm just looking for an opportunity to get in there before I buy some more shares.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe the brokers have got a bit of stock going about. Who knows? Maybe they're hanging on a bit. You never know. Anyway, there's the chart there. Like I said, we did look last week at the chart, and you can see it's bounced off, you know, this previous, sort of in January 22, this was, it bounced out sort of 2.2 pence, and a nice bounce up to 5 pence, come back down. But we're seeing here, it's a series of, you know, lower highs, which is not very good. And the support level seems to have held until recently, that placing, which took it down below that. Now we're down at 1.75. Is that the placing price, was it? Is that?
Yeah, I think that's at the placing price. But remember, the placing included a warrant. And what happens in these placings is, you know, the guys want, they want the exposure, they want the risk. So they take the warrant and then they sell the underlying stock. And frankly, if I was able to buy this, I'd probably do exactly the same. I'd keep the warrant, and I could get most of my, or probably all my money, or most of my money back, just selling the underlying stock and hang on to that warrant. So,
yeah,
the reason why we don't like, you know, warrants in these issues.
Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, you know, as from a risk reward standpoint, it's a good play. You know, you sell the capital tied up in the company, but you still have exposure to the upside, and you know, you don't have to put any more capital into it. So yeah, it's a good play, and it does happen. Whenever you get warrants attached to placings, you do get that drag and that churn of people just dumping the stock and holding on to their warrants. But you can't blame people. Like I said, you know, you don't have to risk your capital with a warrant unless it starts performing. Which is, it's a good way to play it, isn't it? Let's be honest. Cool. Let's have a look at some macros, John. So you mentioned gold. Gold has rallied nicely. And I suppose, is this off the back of, you know, a lot of central banks talking about now? They're starting to enter into the conversation that, or the discussion that interest rates are likely to be coming down before. They weren't sort of saying that. I mean, in the last meetings at the Bank of England, they were saying, no, it's too early to talk about interest rate reductions. Now they're starting to say anything. In fact, Bailey, there's people suggesting that we could be reducing interest rates sooner than thought. So there's a consensus around about three. This is for the Fed and for the UK. And the Fed counts more, of course, because everything's denominated in dollars. But, I mean, we're seeing like three this year, they reckon, maybe starting in June. So is this why gold is rallying?
Gold is rallying because it sees the US dollar weakening on the back of interest rate cuts in the US. And it's going up and down a bit according to when the market thinks those first rate cuts are going to come through. The numbers yesterday suggested in the US that, in fact, inflation probably wasn't coming down quite so fast. And actually, the U.S. economy, the PMIs are suggesting their economy is still going really, really very strong. So it looks more like interest rate cuts in June or after June. And that means that, well, that's just taken the shine off the top of gold. But the gold hit this high level of 2,223, and that's a hell of a price. And what that means is that gold miners are suddenly making much better profits than they were a week ago. And that's all good stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, gold had a pretty good run from here. It usually runs something like $150. Once in a while, it might run $750 to $1,000 if you look back over time. I think probably it's done most of what it's going to do for now. It might edge, it might continue to edge higher, but I think the market's possibly slightly ahead of itself. But one of the reasons why I think people are buying gold and also have been buying Bitcoin is because they just don't know where else to put their money right now. If you've got $1 billion and you've been holding it in basically US dollars, you've done really well. But where do you go from here?
Talk about yourself here, Johnny.
Yeah, well, absolutely, in monopoly terms. But what do you do with it? You don't. The Swiss central bank just cut rates. Other central banks like Brazil and Turkey have just raised rates. It's very difficult to know what currency to jump into next. And gold, I always see gold as an alternative currency. It's where you go when you just can't make that decision as to where you want to go next.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at gold, the way it's moved, it's very interesting. That's Bitcoin, by the way. But it's just the movement of gold, is it, by there? And you can see these levels where it peaks out and tries to get above those, you know, and then it breaks up nicely. You can see here pretty much it broke up when in March 25th, this year. But if you go back to the previous levels, you know, during 2008, 2009, the Great Financial Crash, it fell off. 2014 came down. In fact, had a good rally after the Great Financial Crash from 2000. In fact, it's a cracking run there, all the way up to 2011. Rolled over a bit because it's been so strong. And then tried a couple of times to get above that 1300 level. And then in June 2019, it started to rally again. But you can see it has this definite sort of resistance zones where it hits its head on and comes back down, but then it breaks up. And that's a good time to sort of get on board, I suppose. So, yeah, very interesting gold there. And do you hold any exposure to gold, John, at all?
Not really. I'm much more into the electric vehicle metals. I've always been into copper, industrial minerals. I bought some Kavango the other week because I think they're quite likely to make the next copper discovery in Botswana. I think I'm going to buy some BE metals in Canada because I like that exploration in Zambia, and I'll probably look at buying some ARC. Sorry,
You just bought some Kavango, you said.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Look at that there. So that there, previous support there, it's sort of 0.9, and it's hit its head on that a couple of times. So it breaks it above that. In fact, it's quite a nice series of higher lows there. So it just needs to break that resistance. Seems to be picking up nicely. And the 50-day moving average is moving up to cross the 200-day. So that's quite a good sign. Yeah, cool. Copper. Let's a quick look at copper here on the chart. We did see the other day, it did sort of break it above that thing. It's come back over this, rolled back over, but looks a bit.
The copper prices broke through $9,000 a ton. The market decided the time was right to go long. A lot of short positions were unwound. A lot of new long positions were taken forwards. And, you know, it's kind of going in the right direction. It's just with these, you know, with these charts, they just don't go up in a straight line.
No. No, but it's the fact that it's broken. The thing is now, it's broken above that almost resistance level and it's come back. So that should hopefully provide a bit of support there, this new level, and it'll come round and move up again. But it's broken up above that range. It's quite nice. Okay, so individual companies, John. Anything happening with, you know, on the international front? Normally China's a big driver of resources. Any news out of China that's significant or not?
Well, there's a certain amount of talk on Chinese local governments refinancing what they call their hidden debt and local government financing vehicles. There's a lot of that. So there's still a degree of uncertainty. In fact, iron ore prices have been moving higher today or yesterday on the back of speculation that there might be some more government money for big construction projects. It's an interesting situation. But I think China will carry on kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, I like the term hidden debt. It's like you discover, you know, you go into a room full of just debt or loans. What's in there? Shh, we should hide that. Shh, don't worry about that in there. It's just hidden debt. As long as we hide it and no one sees it, it doesn't exist, all right? Now just crack on with your day job. Okay. So let's have some individual companies. Let's go on a alphabetical order. We talked about Atlantic Lithium last week. It seems to have problems in this range of, you know, hitting on this 19 pence level. and it's struggling to rise above that. But what was the news? Any news up this week, John, on Atlantic Lithium?
Oh, no good news out of Atlantic Lithium. They're all set to once they've done the financing to actually start mining, and they're advancing on all the bits and pieces they need to do in preparation for that. And they put out the drilling results from an extension. It's called the Dog Leg on the Ewoyaa project. And very nice results. Looks like they're averaging about 1% lithium. 1% lithium in spodumene. And those are nice results. It means they're going to be able to expand what they're doing. They'll be able to either expand the rate of production or the mine life. Both are good. Both are value adding. That's the kind of thing we like to see out of these companies.
Yeah, it needs to move up here. It's literally, you know, there's no momentum in the share price at the moment. It needs to sort of break that 50-day. It needs to get above almost 22 pence, I think. If it closes above 22 pence, maybe it's on the start of a run. But it's plodding along. But what's the lithium prices? I mean, are they getting better or what? Where are you going to?
Lithium prices have turned.
To my hidden debt, you're some hidden John Mayer then. Where do you go there?
Sorry about that. The lithium prices have turned. They've definitely... they've hit the bottom, and I've been talking to I've got a contact in China who actually spends her life ringing around the Chinese market talking to people who buy and sell spodumene and lithium carbonate. And yeah, we know that they're buying again because they stopped buying for a few months. They had been the thing about the electric vehicle market is nobody quite knows how many cars are going to be bought, how many will be built, how many batteries will be used. So there's a bit of stop-start in the market. So we've seen the stop, and now we're seeing the start again as the Chinese gigafactories ramp up production to meet new demand. And in China, they reckon that 50% of the vehicles being sold in about 3 months' time will be new electric vehicles. I think that includes hybrids as well as normal EV, as well as battery EVs. But it's great news. It means less petrol, less diesel consumption in China. That means that oil and gas prices probably start to pull back a little bit because less people will be using carbon energy. And it means that lithium prices are likely to turn. We've already seen a small turn in spodumene and a slightly bigger turn in lithium carbonate prices. So that's all good. And we know from talking to people on the ground that we are getting restocking.
Okay, I like that. It's intriguing. That lady you talked about, all she does is spends a day calling around people to see if they're buying lithium. You buying lithium? Yes, I am. Okay, thank you very much. I like the idea of the job. That's all she does. You're selling it, yeah? Okay. Oh, thanks. I'll tell John.
That's what she does.
So that's Atlantic Lithium. What's next on there? We've looked at ARC, copper. One of your faves, Cousin, as it's called, Cornish Metals come out. I was surprised. I did have a quick glance at their release. Was their final results, I think, was it?
Yeah, the results. And
you know, it shows they've got, haven't they?
They've still got a decent cash pile, 25 million Canadian. It's about 15 million pounds sterling. So, you know, that's good because they're accelerating the refurbishment of the shaft so they can get the drill rigs underground. They can do some more the drilling they need to do ahead of the feasibility study for building the mine. I think it's all going to happen really quickly right now. They're changing the CEO. So the old CEO said he's quite happy to step back, let somebody with more skill, more expertise in this sort of underground development take over, because I mean Richard Williams' skill is really more on the resource development side, and he's done a brilliant job with new discoveries at Cambrai and at the other area. So you know that's all the resource is developing very nicely from what we see, and now it's just a question of as the mine is dewatered, they're now able to get into the various levels and refurbish those. So that for us is I won't say it's a completely easy project, but it's relatively straightforward. I think it will hopefully should all happen on time. And who knows about what the budget will actually be. But I wouldn't expect any particularly big negative news out of it. I would have thought the project just moves ahead quite straightforwardly. And good thing was the tin price had been moving ahead quite strongly because the Indonesian government decided to restrict tin exports. They've now since issued some more permits, so the tin price has pulled back a little bit. But we can see demand rising for tin, because tin's mainly used for electronic solder. And these new AI data centers in the US are going to use a lot more connections, a lot more power, so certainly a lot more copper. And we think tin and copper are going to be very much in demand for supplying these AI data centers going forwards.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny, look at a lot of these resource charts, and they're all like this pretty much. We just Atlantic Lithium. There's a few exceptions, but they're all almost, you know, hitting bottoms here. And I said it seems to be the fall has happened. It's just bouncing on the bottom here. And I don't know what the catalyst will be. Maybe it'll be interest rates, but to move these higher. But they guarantee a lot of them will be moving higher. So let's check out, let's see. Empire is a bit different. It's done really well, in the last year or so. Look at that. I'm just trying to see the. So it's done 666. The number of the beast. That's a percentage rise it's done since June 2023. It's come off a bit now. It's back. It's still up though, sort of 300% from June last year. So it's looking quite good. What's happening in Empire Metals, John?
Well, they've made a new discovery. In effect, I mean. The new discovery came through when they discovered a lot of titanium at Pitfield. And we're all looking at this discovery and saying, well, is this ilmenite going to have any value? Because it's ilmenite in a sedimentary formation. I kind of want to call it hard rock, but it's sedimentary rock isn't exactly hard rock always. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But the ilmenite is associated with something called titanite. So the titanium mineral here is titanite. And we were all scratching our heads going, well, how are they going to process titanite? Because no one else in the world actually does this. A few people have run demonstration plants or pilot plants and test work on titanite, but no one's had a discovery of where there's been this much titanite in the containing titanium in the deposit. And good thing is that Sean Bunn is actually a metallurgist. Sean Bunn's the CEO. He's been working really hard on this. And they had a call in the week where they explained in great detail how they were going to process the titanite and how that was, I won't say how that was going to generate value for the company, but just how they were going to do it. So what we need to see next is what's the cost of processing that titanite into what is effectively a rutile equivalent product. Remember that rutile prices are around $1,500 a ton, as against ilmenite prices of about $330 a ton. So you've got a lot of value you can play with on the processing side. And if they really can produce that rutile product, and they can do that within, shall we say, reasonable economic parameters, then they're off to the races because they're in a very good location in Australia. They're next to lots of infrastructure. Australia is a sensible place from a mining perspective. So they could actually, with some clever metallurgy, generate some real value out of this.
Yeah. Titanite. Do you know what? I've genuinely never heard of titanite. I thought titanite is when someone tucked you in bed very tightly.
Well, I feel that titanite's something to do with tightening the screws in my shoulder right now. But
yeah. Is that a titanite for you, dear? Yes, it was a titanite for me. Thank you for tucking me in. Okay. And lastly, Sovereign Metals, SVML. Explain the story here, John. I'm not that familiar with it.
Well, kind of along the same lines, Sovereign has a rutile and graphite project in Malawi, and it's a very big, straightforward project. In fact, a lot like Base Resources' Cassia project in Kenya. They'll simply, hopefully, just use high-pressure hoses for the mining so they can wash the material out of its sedimentary formation. And in Lake Kazia, and then just process the material. So that really is a rutile project. And as I say, rutile is about $1,500 a ton right now. Rio Tinto are they're not a joint venture partner. Rio Tinto are an investor in the project, but are very, very interested in the forward development of this. So, I mean, a lot of mining companies are pretty risky. In fact, the whole junior mining sector just is inherently risky, but this is probably one of the lowest risk projects I've ever seen because you know, assuming that the project is straightforward and the Malawi government is helpful going forwards, I would have thought this is a bit like cash in the bank, frankly. It's such a simple project and it's got big tonnages involved. So the only thing I would say is rutile prices have been coming down, which surprises me, because rutile is fundamentally a much more valuable material than ilmenite. So it's the place to be if you're interested in titanium. And titanium as a mineral is going to see continuing growth with, you know, paint products and titanium metal products for aircraft. The Chinese are now getting into building commercial aircraft themselves. The Japanese are ramping that up. I mean, I know Boeing's having a few problems with doors flying off and things like that. I can see ongoing growth in titanium demand, both for paint and metal products.
And clavicles.
And clavicles, yes.
Exactly. It's the place to be if you want to be into titanium. Yeah. That's not a sentence I'll hear very often in my life, I got to say. But it's a place to, sounds like a nightclub. Titanium. Come to Titanium. It's a place to be. Marvellous stuff, John. Thanks for that, fella. And we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Justin.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.